Today on Real Life Radio.
God sealed you the day that you accepted Christ. Can't see it in the flesh, but God knows those that are His and they have this seal upon them. Isn't that cool?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 2. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. You see, God has made a way of escape and is ready to forgive with abundant grace and mercy all those who choose to come to Him. You see, those who put their trust in Christ will not experience the terrible judgment that will come upon this earth. Satan's agenda is, of course, to destroy us, and those who want to get rid of the church are aligned with Satan's agenda. The gates of hell may come against the church to divide or hinder its growth, and Satan may win that battle, but he will not win the war. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that those who accept Christ as Savior and receive eternal life will also receive His intervention and won't go through the pain of the tribulation. Now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, what do we learn from verse 3? That they afflict with terrible pain. People, this is not your run-of-the-mill locust. This is not normal stuff. This is not earthly locust. Now, why does John mention the word locust? Because, you know what? Locust, and we don't live in a culture that experiences this, but if you live in the Middle East, if you live in North Africa, locust sends fear into your ears right now. We don't understand that, but locusts will come, and they have come, and they shall come in mass so that they leave nothing alive. And what's the big danger about locusts? Because when locusts do come, just earthly locusts, normal locusts, when they come, there's nothing left to eat. The ground is completely ruined, and unless you're able to move on to areas where they have not destroyed, you will die. Did you know that? Locusts consume all plant life, bark even off of trees, killing the trees dead. They leave nothing behind when they attack. Locusts. You say, well, maybe John's talking about a lot of locusts. I don't think so, because these locusts have the ability to sting like a scorpion. These are freaky things. Locusts don't sting, but these locusts do. It says here in verse 3 that they were given power as scorpions on earth have power. Demonic affliction will come upon those humans during that time who are, A, not believers in God, because the scripture tells us that those who believe in God will be sealed, protected by God. Those demonic activities will come upon those who have rejected Christ during the tribulation period, and there'll be affliction, devilish affliction, for the space of 5 months. But look at it, it's a horrific demonic affliction. And many nations of the world, having rejected the gospel, we'll go through this. It's hard to imagine that. Even in America, imagine after the rapture takes place, this nation having rejected God, these spiritual creatures will come up upon the earth. Now the question is, will people be able to see them? I personally believe that mankind will not be able to see them. I think John was given a special ability, as this is being revealed to him, to see them. But I think for a space of 5 months, human beings will be horrifically tormented from the invisible realm that's coming upon them. John sees them in the spirit, and he tries to communicate to us what that's all about. Demonic affliction. Again, one of the demonic ways of afflicting people is just by getting them away from the truth. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. How did that happen? When God was revealed in the flesh. It's through Jesus Christ. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received back up into glory. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Timothy. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. People, listen. When someone knocks on your door with something that is aberrant, something that is off from the Bible, The Bible says when they come knocking, they are promoting the doctrine of demons. That's the origin. That's a serious thing. Another thing that we see here, creature entities that will come upon the earth, verse 4, is that their attack will be well directed. Their attack will be well directed. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. Look, locusts consume grass. These are not normal locusts. Or any green thing, or any tree. But only those men or mankind who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Well, we know this for sure. That's the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, isn't it? That we saw in Revelation chapter 7, for sure. But also those who have the seal of our God upon them. You know what? I want you to take the time right now, look to the left of you and to the right of you at the person next to you. I know it's uncomfortable. Isn't it kind of scary? Look, some of you won't even do it. You won't even look at the person next to you. I don't know. Did you have a rough drive in today? Did you? Make up. It's a stranger next to me and I don't. You're so funny. Well, do you see a mark on their forehead? If you do, let me know. There's no mark on them, but the Bible says you are sealed with the seal of the living God in the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 and 2. Did you know that? Look at that. I don't see anything. Oh, believe me, it's there. It's there. God sealed you the day that you accepted Christ. Can't see it in the flesh, but God knows those that are his, and they have this seal upon them. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? When we're walking around in a crowd, You say, I don't glow like that. You do before the Lord. I'm not having a good day, Pastor. You know what? Consider this. In a crowd, you stand out. Well, I want to glow unto my friends, and I want to glow unto... No, listen. The Lord is the only one who really counts. He's the one that holds control of your life. And though all the world come against us, know this, that the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? Their attack will be directed, but those who trust in God during that time will be delivered, protected, shielded. What's interesting, regarding demonic activity, you want to hear something that Jesus says about it? Mark it down in your Bibles, Matthew 12:43, this is really, really weird, spooky stuff. Jesus said concerning demons, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through waterless places. Some of your Bibles might say desert or dry areas, arid regions. You ought to circle that. For those of you who are students of the Bible, here's my question. And the answer will freak you out. Freak out. Go find out why demons, when they come out of a human being, only traffic through waterless places. Go find out why they avoid places where there's water or a lot of water. They go to waterless places seeking rest, and they find none. That when that happens, they say, I will return to my house. Notice what they call the human body. I'm going to go back to my house from which I came. This is Jesus speaking. And when he comes back, he finds it emptied. In other words, the Holy Spirit didn't move in when the demons moved out. The person didn't get saved. There's a vacancy. There's vacant written on them. No God in their life. No Holy Spirit. When he comes back, he finds them empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other demons more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell within the man, and the last state of that human being is worse than the first. Isn't that awesome? Petrifying? But yet Jesus says it's a reality. Demonic activity. Number 3, verses 5 and 6. Our third point is this. When hell meets earth, mankind will receive a token of eternity. What do I mean by that? Church, understand this. The book of Daniel chapter 12 and John's Gospel chapter 5 verses 28 and 29 says that in the end, there will be a judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous. Did you know that? Those of us who are Christians, we will be judged by Jesus Christ for the opportunities that were given to us, the open doors that were allowed to us to serve him or bring glory to his name. We will not be judged regarding any of our sins or regarding heaven or hell. Are you with me? Everybody understand that? It's called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians. It is a good thing. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says we will receive the rewards of what we've done in our body while we were here on earth. Did we live for God and did we give our attention to God and to expand His kingdom? Did we give our money to the advancement of the Lord? Did we give our energies? Whatever it is. Did we invest in God's kingdom? He's going to ask us this question. What did you do for my son? Jesus might say to us, what did you do for me? Let's take a look and see. Little camera's going, we got popcorn. No, I'm kidding, but the camera's going, and we will know of opportunities. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we will suffer loss or we'll be blessed based upon did we respond in faith to those opportunities. Your job, as it is for me, is to find out what my opportunities are given to me by God, and you have to find out what your opportunities given to you by God are. I can't do it for you, and you cannot do it for me. We'll all stand before the Lord. Has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Okay? We're safe. We're going to heaven. But to those who are not Christ, they do not appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not at all. Do you know where they appear? The Bible says that they appear before God the Father. Without Christ, without Jesus' intervention, they stand before God, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and the books are opened and they are judged out of the books and the things written therein. And it says, all those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, who are judged, are cast into hell. What a horrific thing. You say, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want you to go there either. Now look, let me insert this. I don't want to accept Jesus because I don't agree with your message. I don't like it. Because there's no way that I'm going to bow my knee to a God who just throws people in hell. Like capriciously. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you burn and you don't. And He doesn't do that. The Bible says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. I want to underline this. Are you coming to eternal life? Do you want to come? Do you want to come? So, well, if He's inviting me, how do I know? Come. Well, what if I don't want to come? Then He's not inviting you. Well, wait a minute. I want to be invited. Then come. Yeah, but wait a minute. If man determines his rejection of God and because of that, there's a default built into the system where we're all sinners. And if I don't accept Christ, if I don't get covered by Him and His righteousness, then I just keep going the way that I'm going and I wind up waking up in hell. That's right. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. For there is no other way to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You say, I don't like that. I don't know what to tell you. That's the rules. You ever play Monopoly? Come on, have you ever played Monopoly? I can't stand people who play Monopoly and they're making up the rules. Then you got to stop the game. Get the lid and read the instructions. You can't do that. Well, I've always done it before. Have you ever played Monopoly with people like that? I've always done it before. Look, we're playing by the rules. Milton Bradley built this game. It's the way that it is. Thus saith Milton Bradley, you cannot build this until you have put houses on there. Then you go to a hotel. Well, I want $200. You've got to go past go. You can't make the rules up. I don't like that part. Pastor, can't you move on to a warm and fuzzy message? I'm moving. I'm going. I want to get there too. But the truth of the matter is, God says, come to me, all you who are laboring and have a heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll set you free. Come to me. Jesus says, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to me. Look at me. He cries out, look at me. If you reject that message where he says, come and bring me all of your sin, bring me all of your shame and all of your pain and all of your hurt, you give it to me, I'll forgive you, I'll give you freedom from those who have sinned against you, I'll put you on a new path of life, and you'll have eternal life forever, and you'll have a purpose and a meaning for life, and you can go forth in bold victory and joy and peace. You know, I don't want that. He's not going to grab you by the head and get you in a headlock and say, come on, say it, call me Lord. He won't force you. That's called rape, by the way. He won't do that. He won't tackle you and make you say uncle or make you say Jesus. No. You have to respond to him. But look at what happens to those who refuse. Verses 5 and 6, we learn that to truly suffer is to suffer without God's grace. To truly suffer is to suffer without God's grace, verses 5 and 6. And they were not given authority to kill them. These demons didn't kill the people. It was worse. They tormented them, the earth dwellers, for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Can you imagine getting stung for 5 months repeatedly? Torment. One of the things about suffering is the hope that, you know what, in the morning I might feel better. Have you ever got through suffering? The morning, you long for the morning. Do you know what I'm saying? When you've suffered all night long, you long for the morning. Oh, Lord, bring mercy in the morning. Lord, bring mercy. Lord, bring the morning. There's hope in the morning. 5 months, these people are tormented by this demonic manifestation of things that operate in a swarm like locusts, but they sting like scorpions. By the way, Bible student, chapter 9 of the book of Revelation has more symbols than any other chapter of the entire Bible, chapter 9. Whenever you read the word as or like in chapter 9, it means that it is not what it is saying. It is symbolizing, trying to explain something worse than what is being depicted. They're worse than locusts. They're worse than scorpions. These demons are. He goes on to tell us here in the concluding verses as we're out of time. It says in verse 7, the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. It wasn't gold. It was something like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men. They weren't men's faces. They were like men's faces. Ooh. And they had hair like the hair of women. And their teeth were like that of a lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like chariots and horses running to battle. Verse 10, their tails were like scorpions. And they had stingers, or they were able to sting. And they had power to do this for 5 months. Verses 11 to 12 is that there's hope for the end, my friend. Right now for you today, listen, there's hope in this. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek is the name Apollyon, the destroyer. The word is destroyer and one who destroys. It's a reference to Satan himself. One woe has passed, and behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Here's the hope. Satan is a defeated foe. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't sound like it. But my friend, he's defeated. And I want to just talk to you for a moment about the nature of hell and to talk about to all of us who are Christians what we're going to be escaping. And I hope in the hearing of this that no one experiences. But if you die rejecting Christ, this is what awaits you. If you assemble, if you compile what the scriptures say about hell, it goes by the word Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, the Abuso, Tartarus, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, the place of outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word weeping is profuse. Weeping that chokes you. Listen, if this makes you uncomfortable, it's with a purpose. We're almost done. You've almost made it. The gnashing of teeth, the word in Greek means to gnaw your teeth, to grind your teeth to the point of breaking them off because of pain. The bottomless pit. For that sense of forever falling, outer darkness, the word is absolute loneliness. Aloneness. I had somebody tell me on Newport Beach Pier, I'm going to be in hell with the rest of my friends. I told him, no, you won't. He said, I like to surf and water ski. I'm going to surf, because I told him about the lake of fire. He says, well, I'm just going to water ski on it. Now, I was talking to a surfer. What do you expect him to say? I'll either surf it or water ski on it. I said, no, you won't. You'll be absolutely alone. No one will hear your cry. You'll see no one from life. You'll experience, Jesus said, a worm upon your body that constantly eats your flesh, and it never is full, and your flesh is never fully consumed. The Bible says you are forever alive, living out a death. Go figure that one out. You are alive forever while dying. You will suffer what Jesus said, what the scriptures say, is a second death, a spiritual dying, and a physical decay. It will be a place where the Bible says there's the lake of fire. Whereas Dr. Booth, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, God gave him a vision. And he said in that horrific vision that he saw an ocean aflame. And there were men and women doing their best to tread water in an ocean aflame. And their mouths were just above the water as they were trying to breathe. Constantly trying to tread water, and neither one of them were trying to rescue the other nor hurt the other, for they were not aware of the presence of the other. And William Booth said it changed his life forever. A fire, a lake ablaze that puts out no light, a place that is unbelievably horrific that the Bible says it was created for Satan and his punishment, not for you. You say, well, then I don't have to go, do I? It was created to punish Satan. But all those who don't accept Jesus will wind up there, says the Bible. And you might say, I don't want that. I don't agree with that. That's coercion. It's not coercion, my friend, if you understand this. Are you getting younger or older? You're older today than you were yesterday. You're getting older. That's a law. It's a physical law, isn't it? Can't change it. Doctors are working on it. Good luck. You will still die. You might die good looking, but you're going to die. Look, no wrinkles. That's the best looking dead lady I've ever seen in my life. You're still going to die. It's a law. You can't change it. Jesus says, listen, you have the opportunity to pass from judgment to eternal life by putting your faith in me. Put your faith in him. Trust him. The one who loves you pleads with you now to receive him. If you have not yet done that today, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio in his message called When Hell Meets Earth Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. When Hell Meets Earth Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, our good friend William Federer has done it again. He's written a book called Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. Isn't that what it's about? Control. Seems like everybody is seeking to control you these days. Why is that the narrative? Why is that what you're hearing about on the news? And let's be honest, everybody, why is it that that's what you're feeling when it comes to your own rights and freedoms and that of your children? Because there is a group of people who practice socialism who want to control you. This is the new America unless we put a stop to it. And this book will help you do that. It will give you incredible insights and historical backgrounds literally throughout history. Which is the deep state? It is that action of control. How do we know? Well, you know what, everybody? It's been happening since Plato, and it's happening right now in our present day.
Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.